Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We need to consider this angle. If he were to go to the Knicks and turn the direction of that franchise around, that would be one of the all-time resurrections. Like, you got what happened with Christ, okay? You got that comeback. You got the Sharks in Game 7 against the Golden Knights, that comeback, right? And then you basically have Kevin Durant turning the Knicks around. I mean, it's on the Mount Rushmore of comebacks if he does it and makes the Knicks, a competitor. See, and that's the other thing. If he goes to the Knicks, winning a championship, I think that's a pipe dream. But even having that team, quote, competing, like back in the playoffs, you know, kind of where they were in the Patrick Ewing, Charles Oakley, Anthony Mason, John Starks days, where they were competitive. They couldn't get over the Jordan's Bulls hump or beat the Rockets, but they were still pretty damn good. They've been nothing since. Absolutely nothing. I mean, how many years have the Knicks been totally irrelevant? I don't care that they play in New York. I guess, well, because I live in the Bay Area. So what the hell do I care what they're doing in New York? But this whole notion that the Knicks are the epicenter of the NBA. According to who? All right, let's go to Gabriel down in Campbell. Go ahead, Gabriel. How are you? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. So we see this as a bit of a no-brainer, and I'm surprised you haven't brought this up, but clearly this is not Kevin's team, right? I mean, if they're going to build statues for the Warriors based on the last 5-year run, it'd be Steph, it'd be Clay, it'd be Draymond. KD would have the fourth statue around the Chase Center. And I think that's what it boils down to, right? I mean, he's a sensitive guy. He wants to have his own team, and he just doesn't have that here in the Bay Area.
All right. Thanks for the call, Gabriel. Now, you know, I mean, obviously we've considered that narrative for some time, right? Like, could he ever be the lead dog here? This is always going to be Steph's town. He knew that when he signed up. He knew that when all them dudes rolled out to the Hamptons. Now, maybe this was for KD, looked at it like a little pit stop, like, hey, this isn't where I'm going to, you know, plant my roots per se. I'm literally going to be a mercenary for a few years, join up with these guys so I can assure myself of winning a title. I can enhance my brand to the level that I want. I can play a, you know, pretty exciting style of basketball with the preeminent team in the NBA, do that for a few years, and then go off and do my own thing. It's like, you know, having the world in the palm of your hand. C650, if he wanted his own team, why did he join a Dubs team with 3 All-Stars? Well, I mean, I think, you know, part of that is he knew he could come here and win a couple of titles. And he did. So if that, let's face it, if Kevin Durant's mission coming to the Bay Area was enhance his legacy, get paid, win a couple of championships, and then be positioned to do all the things off the court that he aspires to do, whether it's, somebody said he wants to be a governor, 925 says, or 956 says, Kove KD aspires to be a governor, not an owner. Like, I don't know. KD, I think, aspires to be a lot of things. But everything that he set out to do here at Golden State, he's basically done. And part of him might feel like, hey, you know what? That's run its course. And now I'm ready for a new challenge. We see that sometimes, right? Maybe he's just sick of rolling to work with Draymond Green every day. It's possible. I mean, the guy did cuss him out on national television. You think he just forgot about that? We forgive in life. We don't forget. That was a bad scene. So maybe this was his plan from the jump. Come there for a couple of years. Get a couple of rings. Make sure that the name Kevin Durant will always have NBA champion next to it. He knew that this was the place to accomplish it. Because keep in mind, rewind yourself to when he decided to come here. He's just played with Russell Westbrook for a couple of years. You know, the same Russell Westbrook that seems about as much fun as a kick in the nuts, okay? Like playing next to that dude every day, right? So he got a chance to get out from under Russell Westbrook's thumb, come out to the Bay Area, play this exciting brand of basketball with this up-and-coming team, with this group of unassuming superstars that came out in unison to recruit him, made him feel loved. And then now, he's just ready for something else. 415, all the love that eludes KD would come back in droves if he would commit. Fair enough. If KD signs a Supermax with the Golden State Warriors, he will be hailed as one of the greatest athletes in Bay Area sports history, without question. And he will always be remembered as such. If he leaves now, he's a dude, he's a mercenary that helped you win a couple of titles and then unfortunately got hurt. He's still great. You appreciate for what he did here in his time. Everybody always wants to talk about statues too, right? Like this dude's statue at the Chase Center. Do people really care that much about statues? I don't know. I guess. And how, like to the idea of statues, like how do they handle that at the Chase Center? You know how you handle it? You build one like giant statue of like the whole team. That's how you do it. You get Curry, Steph, Clay, KD, like all four of them in a row. Maybe throw Mo Spates on there too. Okay, maybe not Mo. But like statues, you know. Sorry, if that's what drives you and motivates you, I feel sorry for you. All right? And I don't think that's what motivates KD. Maybe the guy's just looking for a new challenge. We don't want to play with Draymond Green anymore. You know what the good news is around all this, y'all? We will find out soon enough, and I freaking can't wait because I'm just ready to start talking about who's actually going to be here. And yes, I hope that KD stays, but if he doesn't, you have to wish him well. And guess what? You needed to wish him well before he ruptured his Achilles tendon. All right, Warriors fans, be better than that collectively. If you're one of those people that needed him to give up his leg in order to appreciate his greatness and the sacrifices that he made for the team. Come on, man. Two parades, two finals MVPs. That should be like the first thing you think of. And the fact that he was willing to come here in the first place. All right, 888-957-9570. We're going to talk a little bit of Major League Baseball with our buddy Anthony Watrado from Forbes and ESPN. Want to talk a little Giants, a little A's with them. And a little bit about what's going on over in London with this Red Sox-Yankees series. Pretty interesting. They were beating the cover off the ball yesterday. Bet the over. All right. 888-957-9570. Players Club, Sunday morning. Happy Pride Day, everybody. It's Ryan Covey with you on 95.7 The Gizane.
Now back to 95.7 The Game. Here's your host, Ryan Covey.
What's happening, y'all? Top of the morning. Happy Sunday morning. Ryan Covey with you. I'll take you all the way up until noon today. Happy Pride Day. If you're going out there today, have fun. Be safe. Represent the city, okay? You know, the best we can at a Pride Parade, which, let's face it, it's going to be entertaining. They're so fun, though. I got to tell you, I've been to a couple. Just back in, what was that, like 2007, a young, underachieving Ryan Covey. Yeah, because I've reached meteoric heights, right? Picture me rolling. I was working at the Academy of Art right down there off of New Montgomery. I had to go in on a Sunday to do a little work. And I rolled out of the office and just went down and watched the Pride Parade. And I was like, you know what? Me rolling into 7-Eleven here, grab me a little 40 ounce, put a little brown bag, right? Brown bag it and just walked around a little bit. Pretty entertaining stuff, I must say. And I love a good party. I like to party. Sure. I don't do great in big-ass crowds, though. I don't really like huge crowds. This kind of makes me a little nervous. But in general, Pride's a good time. Just behave yourself out there today. And some of that stuff, just keep in mind, you can't unsee it. Once you see it, it will burn your retina. I didn't know people could do that. Oh, they can, especially in the city, and God bless San Francisco. All right, how about this? And we're going to talk to Anthony Watrado in a hot second. We're going to talk a little Major League Baseball. We'll get him on the horn in just a sec here. What if Kawhi Leonard went to the Lakers? I think Twitter would break. I really do. Kawhi, LeBron, Anthony Davis. Now, I still think, well, I know they would need a point guard. And I almost think the Lakers would be better served. And I'm about to advocate for the Lakers getting somebody other than Kawhi Leonard. But I think the Lakers would be better served to parcel out that $32 million they have in cap space and get a couple of guys, you know, like a Patrick Beverley type, somebody like that, get a wing defender, somebody that could shoot also, maybe like a J.J. Redick, because they're going to need some shooters. And then somebody that can take some of that ball handling onus off of LeBron James. I think that would be relevant as well. You know what else is relevant? Major League Baseball. And we're going to talk a little Major League Baseball with our good buddy Anthony Watrado from Forbes and ESPN. Anthony, this London series with the Yanks and the Sox, did they ever stop scoring runs yesterday? When I looked up, I was like, oh, it's 8-6. I'm like, oh, and we're in like the second inning. Is that good for baseball to, you know, have it represented like that, where it's just, you know, home runs galore and just runs being scored when you're, you know, showing it off to a product over, you know, when you're showing off to like a new market?
You know what? I think that for that first game, it's kind of fitting. You open with a whole bunch of fireworks, a lot of scoring. I think those fans know what the game is, though. You know, I think they understand that's out of the norm. When Angel Hernandez was introduced yesterday, they booed him. So, you know, when they did umpire introductions, I think they understand baseball in the States. You know, otherwise they just did a whole bunch of cram sessions before and realized everyone here hates Angel Hernandez as an umpire.
Right.
So, I think it's good. You know, hopefully they get a dose of, you know, different baseball for the rest of the series so that they can, you know, see that it's not always like that. But, you know, for people who are going to that game and maybe trying to introduce new people to the sport, that was cool. You know, a whole bunch of action, home runs, that kind of stuff. I think it's good in terms of growing the game to an audience who maybe has never seen the sport at all.
And what about the notion, Anthony, of, you know, expanding the game globally? You know, the NFL is always trying to do it, you know, playing games in London and everything. But, you know, the reality is those are novelties. But, you know, from a logistical standpoint, like, you could never have a team there. So in a lot of ways, like, dare I say, what's the point?
You could never have a team there. You're 100% right on that. But I think the point is, just introducing new people to it. I think the more you can introduce the game globally, it's just going to help. Look at what the NBA's done. I mean, they play that sport in almost every civilized country in the world now. And they're getting players internationally, as baseball does anyway. But I think anytime you have a chance to spark a global interest in your game, you take the opportunity, even if it's unrealistic to maybe expand an organization there or create a league there, anything like that. But I think anytime you can expose your game to a new audience, it's good. I just wish the league would focus on introducing the game to new audiences in this country.
Right. Yeah, and let me ask you this. I mean, you mentioned the NBA, and I mean, right now, Anthony, obviously we're in the throes of NBA free agency. This stuff's 24/7, 365. To the ability that they're able to, you know, what can Major League Baseball apply to their sport for continued growth and sustainability that they can learn from the way the NBA has exponentially grown their brand? And I'm talking about the reach on social media and the fact that there's always relevant talking points around the NBA. And I feel like baseball is just still a little behind in that respect.
Yeah. Answers 1, 2, and 3, market your players. Baseball does as bad a job as any industry in this country of marketing itself. They started to get a little better with the Let the Kids Play campaign.
Right.
But that it goes nowhere because they don't push it far enough. They don't buy time on other, other shows, other sports. Who in this country knows who Ned Yost is aside from diehard baseball fans,
right,
and Kansas City Royal fans? Yet he's on a Verizon commercial or a Sprint commercial or whatever it was during the NBA playoffs over and over and over again because the phone company decided to do that, not baseball. And for whatever reason they picked him. But they felt the commercial relevant enough to buy time during the NBA playoffs. Why doesn't baseball do their Let the Kids Play campaign at that time? Why not buy time in something like that where the viewers that you're going to need to continue to grow your audience are watching those games?
Right.
They completely ignore it. They ignore marketing individual players, and then they blame the players for being too boring. Like that doesn't make sense. It's your job to make them not boring to an audience. It really is. And the fact that they refuse to do that is just them burying their head in the sand. Because this sport, while the TV contracts are huge right now, and they're only huge because they play every day. Let's not get there's more programming in Major League.
Sure, yeah, 162 games.
Pay
yeah.
more, right? Exactly. And so that part of the game right now is great because we all know with DVRs and on demand and Netflix and Hulu and all that stuff, that live sports is king. It's the cash cow right now when it comes to advertising dollars. And so you are taking advantage of that in the now. Long term, though, it's going to eat you. It's going to eat the teams who or the companies who are paying for those rights right now. And then the contracts going down the road, when adjusted for inflation, are going to come way back down because you are not able to grow your base as a sport.
Right.
And so why would they pay as much money as they have been for dwindling numbers?
Talking to Anthony Rotrotto, Forbes Magazine and ESPN on 95.7 The Game. Ryan Covey with you on a Sunday morning. Let me ask you this. Does Major League Baseball need more villains or heroes?
Both. Both. There's no reason you shouldn't market Mike Trout as a hero, let's say, or Cody Bellinger or Christian Yelich. There's also no reason that a guy like Yasiel Puig or even Tim Anderson or Bryce Harper, Craig Kimbrell with that intimidating look, market those guys as villains.
Right.
You know, take a page from the WWF in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
And play this up. Baseball has this really annoying, and I'm a diehard baseball fan. I always have been. I just happened to land in this career. But they've always had this holier-than-thou sort of presence ever since the rise of the NFL and the NBA really started to come about. And it's to their detriment. I think before a lot of people saw it as a positive and said, oh, this is a sport for, you know, they're playing chess, not checkers like the other sports. Well, now you have to play checkers. You know, I mean, the sport is what it is, but you have to at least give off the appearance that you're playing checkers because it has to move. And I'm not talking about pace of play. I'm talking about interest in the game. And when you fail to create it because you're sitting on this pedestal and you think you're looking down on other sports and saying, we don't have to do that. We're above having to market our players this way. Well, no, you're not, because you're losing people. Regardless of what participation numbers say or viewership might say for you, the only people that you're gaining, new fans, are the fans who are in the lineage of your old fans. You're not bringing anyone new in. And that's a huge problem going forward for obvious reasons.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just, you know, it's something that Major League Baseball is just going to have to deal with. You know, as far as pace of play, like, do we make too much out of that? And the reason I say that, Anthony, is I know we want to appeal to, you know, the younger generation, shorter attention spans. We got so much going on. We got phones. We got iPads. We got Twitter. I get all that stuff. But, like, when I go to a baseball game, like, part of the allure for me is I don't know how long it's going to take. And, you know, that's fine by me. And I think that, you know, whether if I go to a game, whether I get home at, you know, 10:15 or 10:45, like, what does it matter? You know, like, do we make too much of that, or is that a real relevant issue that Major League Baseball is going to need to do something about? Because I know that they feel like it is.
You're using a form of the argument that I've been using for a couple years now, at least. Baseball is creating solutions for problems that really don't exist for anyone except themselves and the media.
Okay.
And the media's interest in it is the deadline. They want to get the game moving and over with. I understand that firsthand. Baseball has created this problem that it's not really a problem. So they've attributed them losing viewership and not being able to attract new fans because the pace of the game is too slow. It's too deliberate. This is what they say. Well, going back to what you said, if you take a person who thinks the game is too slow and doesn't want to watch baseball for that reason, whether the game is 3 hours and 5 minutes or the game is 2 hours and 50 minutes, and if you told baseball coming into the season, I can guarantee you we're going to shave 15 minutes off of every game, your average game time is going to drop 15 minutes, they would lose their mind going crazy thinking that they found the Holy Grail. No one cares. Like you said, if I get home at 10:15 or I get home at 10:45, it doesn't make a difference to me as a baseball fan. That person who doesn't have any interest in baseball, it doesn't matter to them if that game's 3:15 or 2:50. It's not in their interest. They're not going to watch it. And to say that length of game is a problem, well, people are going to watch the Trailblazers play the Oklahoma City Thunder for four overtimes because they have a rooting interest in those players.
Right.
People who may not even be fans of the team, but Dame Lillard was the hero, and let's say Russell Westbrook is a villain for some, or vice versa.
Sure.
And now they're watching the game until 11 o'clock at night, 11:30 at night, and on the West Coast, and later on the East Coast, because they have a vested interest in those players, because those players are marketable, and not only are they marketable, they're actually marketed by their league.
Yeah. No, you're right. Talking to Anthony Witrado, Forbes and ESPN, for a few more minutes here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Larry Bear is, we all know what happened with him and his wife. He said, quote, he's truly sorry. Coming back to the Giants now, we know that that Robert Dean has basically assumed a lot of those duties as acting CEO. And let's face it, Farhan Zaidi, I think, has a certain level of autonomy with this team right now. He's basically been brought in there to, quote, fix things. And I think everybody understands it's going to be a process. But as far as this applies to Larry Bear, I find it hard to believe that he's ever truly going to be embraced again in any capacity in the public spotlight. I know time heals all wounds, and we've all had a bad moment with our significant other, just kind of the way it all went down, especially in today's climate and especially here in the Bay Area. I just feel like it's a long way back for Larry Bear.
Yeah, I think you're right. For better or for worse, we live in a society that doesn't forget those things. And and I say for worse sometimes because even if someone has truly rehabilitated themselves and, you know, is contrite and asks for forgiveness and truly believes that and, you know, all that stuff, that person may get a job in 5 years from now and someone on Twitter is going to go, oh, but that one time. And it's not wrong to point that out necessarily.
Yeah.
And so I say for better or for worse, you know, those things are, we're in a time where those things do not die. They don't disappear. With that said, yeah, it's he faces a long road back. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for the Giants. What I do know is that they're better off in the long term probably now, and this is probably for the better, of putting their baseball ops people up front and center, putting those people in the spotlight as opposed to the president of the team or the CEO of the team. Far Anxiety is completely capable of taking on that role as well. And as the person who is going to really lead the baseball personnel side of this rebuild when it starts to happen,
sure,
I think that's a good thing for the franchise. When you look at teams like the Phillies before they got good again, you look at teams like kind of like the Tigers now, those clubs had a problem because the Pirates, with Neil Huntington running the personnel side, those teams have problems because the fans didn't feel that there was enough transparency in what the plan was. And if you have someone like Larry Bear out there who's not necessarily making the day-to-day phone calls and the day-to-day decisions as this thing starts to take place, you risk falling into that boat. And I think with Zaidi, him being able to be front and center on this and him kind of being the face of the franchise going forward once Posey and Pablo and Belt and those guys are gone, is going to be good for the fan base because they're going to have someone to associate with what's coming, with that hope that hopefully the Giants can instill in a fan base who's been incredibly loyal to them over the last few seasons.
Yeah. Well, you know, three World Series should build you some continuity with, or you know, some clout with your fan base. I would say
it
a little
does.
Bit of equity.
It really does, Ryan. And you know what? I think you're seeing that in the fact that they're 11th in average home attendance in baseball, and they're probably going to lose 90 or 95 games.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't realize it was actually that good. I know so much was made about, you know, the shutout streak ended, was that, you know, about, you know, 2 years ago now. But, for years they just filled that barn, that yard, and that still is one of the best places to bring in a game, even if, you know, you're going to see them get three hits. But, I think these Giants fans don't have to look back too far. And I guess, you know, this is now they're – like paying the penance, whatever. How what do you think the best course of action is with Bumgarner? I just feel like, you know, at this point he's, you know, I guess maybe a number three starter. Now, if you needed somebody for a one game wild card, you could do a whole hell of a lot worse than Madison Bumgarner. I know that for sure. But I don't know how big that market's going to be for him. And, you know, in an era where starting pitching is devalued more than ever and, you know, you're only getting him for one postseason, I don't know how much of a return they're going to get for him anyway. And part of me feels like the Giants might just be better served to pay Madison Bumgarner and keep him a Giant going forward. What do you think the best course of action is with Bumgarner? How do you see that playing out?
Yeah, I don't think they can keep him and re-sign him to a multi-year deal. Because that contract at that point then becomes immovable. You're kind of looking at a Buster Posey situation if you go and do that.
Yikes.
You're right. He's a number three. I said it on your station last week, I think, to someone else that, yeah, he's a number three starter on a good day. He's a pretty decent number two, but right. he's nowhere near the number one anymore. And because of that, the return you're going to get is probably going to be disappointing for a lot of Giants fans who, you know, have it pretty fresh in their memory that he was this dominant guy in October. And maybe not a true ace, but a legit number one starter in most rotations. And so, I think that return package that they get, you know, maybe some fans are hoping that, okay, this is the big start to the rebuild. It's not going to be. It's going to be some okay prospects in return, one or two. But no one's breaking the bank for Madison Bumgarner, especially when you have guys like Marcus Stroman on the market,
right,
who at this point is arguably better and is under team control for, you know, pretty cheap. A guy like possibly Trevor Bauer on the market also is going to be more attractive, I think, to some teams. So when you're looking at him as being the second or third best starting pitching prospect on that market, what he's giving you now, the fact that he's a rental, you don't get a whole lot in return. But I think it's something the Giants have to do. They can't let him walk for nothing.
Right.
You know, you hope to get something. And you have to trade him because I think that you do risk if he becomes a free, if you keep him through the deadline and he becomes a free agent and you offer him the qualifying offer, there's a better chance than there used to be that he accepts that.
Right,
because
right.
Let's say it's about $20 million or so. There's no guarantee he's going to get $20 million a year on the open market based on what we've seen over the last couple of winters. I mean, Dallas Keuchel didn't sign until his draft pick compensation fell off and
sure.
in June. You know, same with Craig Kimbrel. So there's no guarantee that Bumgarner is going to be swept up to a four-year deal worth, you know, $27 million a season. You know, so and I think he understands that. So, and if he does like being in San Francisco, there's a chance he may take that offer. And that's money the Giants don't really want to spend because they're spending it for no reason at that point.
Mm.
So trading him is not going to be this overwhelming thing that Giants fan, I think, hoped for a couple seasons ago. But I think it's still necessary.
Yeah, boy, it's just going to be such a long road back for the Giants. Hey,
It is. And I think the previous front office, dug themselves a hole trying to keep the seats filled. Doing things like trading for Longoria and
signing Samardzija
extension and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And now they're left with this Cueto contract and the Samardzija thing and, you know, like contracts that they really can't get out from under until they expire. And so it really halts what you would want to dub or call a rebuild or a retool or a reimagining or whatever the hell you want to call it.
Sure. Yeah.
The moves they're going to have to make to get better in the future.
Hey, Anthony, man, great stuff. Appreciate you coming on a Sunday morning. Have a great 4th of July, brother, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, man. Sounds good. You too.
All right, cool. Anthony Wetrado, ESPN, Forbes Magazine, got a great perspective on Major League Baseball. And, you know, this whole – I didn't even get a chance to ask him about – the baseball being different. They had the Athletic had an astrophysicist examine the baseball and the subtle changes in the way that it's winded and they're centering the core of the baseball. They can get it true centered now, and like it's like, dude, of course the ball's juiced up right now. Baseball is on pace collectively to hit 6,618 home runs. That's 1,000 more than last year and 500 more than the 6,105 they hit in 2017, which was an all-time high. How about this? 13 teams in baseball of the 30 are in position to break franchise records. And right now, we got 21 players that are expected to hit more than 40 home runs. 21. When I was a kid, huge baseball fan growing up as a kid, played Little League, collected baseball cards, the whole nine, Cubs, A's, Giants, all that 88, 89, Bash Brothers, Battle of the Bay. Like, that was a very impressionable time in young Ryan Covey's life. That era, like, somebody hit 40 home runs, that was like a big deal, right? I mean, Canseco did the 40-40 season. I know McGuire, his rookie year, I think he hit 48 or 49. I think it was 49. But those kind of years were so far and few between. For somebody to hit 30 home runs, that was like, damn, you did something. And I know that like a San Francisco Giants player never hits 30 home runs, but outside of the Giants, like 30 home runs now? Eh. Like that doesn't mean anything anymore. And then this idea of like a 300 hitter, those don't exist anymore either. How many 300 hitters do we even have in Major League Baseball right now? You know what? I'm just out of curiosity. I know we're up against it, and we got to hit the break. But as far as batting average in the American League, 9 guys are on the right side of 300 right now, and in the National League, 12. So 21 guys in Major League Baseball have a batting average over 300 right now. That's not a lot. All right. Dieter Kurtenbach of the Merck's going to join us in the next hour. I want to get back to NBA free agency. I know that's what people are hungry for right now. We'll give you the latest on player movement, who's talking to what team. Also, we got a little sound about just how bad it's gotten for the New York Knicks. Oh, yeah, the epicenter of the basketball world. According to who? We'll talk about it next.
Now back to 95.7 The Game. Here's your host, Ryan Covey.
Hey. Oh, really? I got Rhino in the other room dancing. Ryan, how tall are you?
7 foot.
7 foot. I got a 7-footer dancing like a schoolgirl in the other room right now. You're pretty fleet of foot, though. Shout out to Butcher Boy in San Francisco Juvenile Hall. That was a fun little run, man, for the 4 minutes that I got in there. We did our thing. Hey, I'm 41 years old off of bad Achilles, you know? I only got so much run in me, man. That was probably the first time I played like 5-on-5 hoop like that in like 15 years. And I got a little kid in my ear going, oh, this is going to be easy when he was guarding me. He didn't score on me, though. I let him know. And I scored. He didn't. So I won the matchup.
We do it for the kids.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Except for Guru, who was like, man, they're fouling. They're fouling me.
When he got the and one and flexed.
Oh, dude. It's like you realize, I mean, these kids are like they're in juvenile hall, man.
I need a mimosa.
We're trying to help these kids. No, that was great. And you know what? My partner, Butcher Boy, if I could just say for a moment, like some people like to talk about being men of action. I've learned a lot about Joe Shasky in my months working with him. Dude's a go-getter, man. Like in this business and just in general, he cares. And I don't always agree with everything he says and does, but damn, I respect him because I like people that just do their thing, man. They march to the beat of their own drum. And he's got a good heart. So anyway.
Oh, yeah.
That's my guy. What's up, Butch? I can honestly say I love Joe Shasky. I do. I said it here on 95.7 The Game. You know, I've been here, what? Came here in like middle of February, February 15th. So March, April, May, June. Yeah, we're like 4.5 months now. I did the math. No worries. I got you. You're welcome. Coming up on 5 months. Embraced. I feel embraced by 95.7 The Game, and I appreciate that. It's been a smooth transition, man. Crazy year for me. I got to be honest. But it all happened quick, and I was just so excited to have this platform. And I appreciate everybody that's been good to me here. Board ops, producers, fellow hosts, to a man. Everybody reached out, like, when I came over. He's like, guys like Joe Fortenbaugh, who I didn't really know. I knew a lot of people over here. You know, Dibs, guys like that. Damon, Kolsky, Ray Ratto. But a lot of folks reached out. It's a good group here. Good group of guys. Solid group. All right, 888-957-9570. Golden State Warriors, they've been a good group of guys, right? Good group of guys.
I'm a football guy.
Place you probably want to play basketball. 4-on-5, there is not a better team on radio. Everyone else is playing for second. Rack that text. Booyah, baby.
I love the butcher shop.
Thank you, Guy. That's our good friend, Guy Fieri, as you well know. 831, we love the mornings with Covey. We love you in the butcher shop, too. Shout out 831. See, we're feeling the love today. What did I say, guys, when I came in today? The theme for today is love, all right? I want you in here on some hater noise, okay? Especially on Pride Day. What's up, Rhino?
A confirmed Al Horford suitor at last. The Kings definitely have significant interest in Horford. Reported 4-year deal worth in excess of $100 million.
That makes all the sense in the world. Al Horford to the Sacramento Kings. I was thinking about this the other night. What about DeMarcus Cousins, right? Like, you know, they extended the qualifying offer to Willie Cauley-Stein, but, you know, they just want to get draft pick compensation if he goes, and I don't think that they want Willie Cauley-Stein. I don't. But I was thinking that team, young, you got Buddy Hield, you got De'Aaron Fox. I mean, they're on the come up. They really are. But they needed, I think, somebody that could score in the low post, a veteran, and really somebody to kind of teach them how to win, teach them how to defend. That's according to Mark Stein. Horford is getting a massive offer, that's in quotations, from the Kings after the opening bell sounds tonight at 3 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. 888-957-9570, Sacktown. Al Horford, you in on that? When you look at the Sacramento Kings, I know that they stumbled a bit down the stretch last year. What, they end up 39-43, I think was their final mark. But when you look at that roster and just the way that they've been constructed, the amount of young talent that they have there, they strike me as one of those teams you plug in a star-level player, they could make some noise. And you got to think about it too, man. The entire NBA, but particularly the Western Conference, they have to feel like this is up for grabs because let's face it. Anthony Davis to the Lakers, that's a huge needle mover. I get that. Okay, Anthony Davis is a straight baller, all right? But Anthony Davis, he's never been totally healthy in his career. He's missed a lot of time. LeBron James, until last season, he had been basically invincible. But, you know, with that injury last year, is this the first sign of LeBron James starting to wear down a little bit? And let's face it, the Lakers have three guys on their roster right now. It remains to be seen how that roster is going to be backfilled. But it's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee that any team's going to stay healthy. I mean, hell, we saw with the Golden State Warriors. It could be over like that. But the Lakers in particular, this notion that if they go out and get a max player, let's say they end up with D'Angelo Russell as their point guard, right? And then you go out and you get some NBA veterans on the minimum and you fill out that squad. It's not just a fait accompli that the L.A. Lakers are going to rule the West next year. I mean, think about it. Portland Trailblazers, Utah Jazz, Denver Nuggets, Sacramento Kings, Houston Rockets, L.A. Clippers. Hell, the Dallas Mavericks with another year of Doncic and maybe a healthy Porzingis. Who knows how good they're going to be? The West is going to be a gauntlet next year. The one thing I do know, Memphis is going to suck. I know that for sure. And the Phoenix Suns are going to win more games than they did last year. Hell, the Pelicans are going to be a tough out. If nothing else, you know you're going to get the Zion experience. And the NBA collectively is going to have to figure out how to slow him down. Zion in transition? Nice. What about Harrison Barnes in all this, Rhino? Does that affect Harrison Barnes' status?
No, not. I don't believe so.
So they're going to pay him both?
Yeah, they'd pay him both.
Because according to the earlier report that I got, they're going to offer Harrison Barnes, 4 years, like $88 million, I think it was? That's a lot of damn money for Harrison Barnes, by the way. Boy, you talk about a guy, too, that, you know, like when timing's everything in life, right? I mean, Harrison Barnes, he got paid by Dallas, and now he's going to get paid again. I mean, he's a nice player, but to me, Harrison Barnes is most famous for not being willing to shoot in opportune moments in critical playoff games with the Golden State Warriors. Like, that's what I remember about Harrison Barnes. And he was okay in Dallas, but what did Dallas ever do when Harrison Barnes was there? Nothing. Right? You know, the other angle to consider in all this, too, with the Golden State Warriors now looking vulnerable, and they could look real vulnerable here in the next couple of days if Kevin Durant decides to leave in free agency, the rest of the NBA outside of, like, LeBron James and I'm reluctant to throw the Houston Rockets in here. I know they pushed the Warriors to 7 games last season, and then this year, 6 games, and Daryl Morey made it his mission to beat the Dubs. But what I'm getting at is, basically, outside of LeBron, the last half a decade, the rest of the NBA has been in a slumber, right? They've been hibernating, just waiting for the Golden State Warriors dynastic run to end, right? And now, like, they're all waking up. They've been in this deep freeze, and now they're kind of thawing out. Can't you just, like, see it? Like, the rest of the NBA, they're scraping the barnacles off. They're tuning up the engine. They're like, dude, they're peeling the cover off the old Harley Roadster in the garage, getting them ready to go. The rest of the NBA has to feel like it's finally our time again, right? And I'll give LeBron a ton of credit for his ability to exert his influence and recruit. for the LA Lakers. I mean, make no mistake about it. The fact that every single player on that roster from last season is now gone except for Kyle Kuzma, that's because LeBron decreed it to be so, okay? He said, y'all got to get me some stars. I can't roll out here with JaVale McGee and Rajon Rondo and Lance Stevenson. You want me to win a title? Kentavious Caldwell-Pope got to get, all right? And if he's able to recruit Kawhi freaking Leonard along with him, dude, say what you want about Bron. That's quite the recruitment right there. By the way, you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ and HD1, San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. All right, Kings fans, Al Horford. How about this? If the Kings signed Al Horford, this is how they would look going into next season. De'Aaron Fox at the point with Yogi Ferrell backing him up. Buddy Hield at the two with Kyle Gay. Harrison Barnes as your small forward with Bogdan Bogdanovich backing him up. Marvin Bagley at the four with Bolika. And then Al Horford at center with Harry Giles backing him up. That dog will hunt. That team will win some games. Fox, Hield, Barnes, Bagley, Horford. If you're a Kings fan right now, you should be very titillated at that thought. You should be Rick titillated at that thought. Without question. Is it too much doom and gloom, Warriors fans, right now? Are we throwing too much dirt on them? I don't want to sleep on Steph Curry and Draymond Green. I don't. I respect the hell out of these dudes. I do. But I see the West getting stronger, and I just feel like the Dubs are a little worn down. And it's not, I'm not trying to knock them. Like, I respect the hell out of what they've done. Man, they brought this region 3 titles in 5 years. And yes, you have an owner that is committed to keeping this thing going. I got you. I do. I love it. And I hope it happens. We're their flagship station. It's good for us if the Warriors are great. Okay? I love parades. I love the butcher shop, right? Thank you, guy. Give it to me. I got to have it.
I love the butcher shop.
Thank you. But I'm just trying to be realistic. Draymond Green and Steph Curry have played a crap ton of basketball the last 5 years. Well over a season extra. Okay? I feel like their best course of action, and this is whether KD stays or goes, but particularly if he goes, 2019-2020 should be the lick your wounds, regroup, figure out what to do with Draymond, decide if you're going to commit to him long term, and then develop some of these younger players, right? I want Steph Curry playing like 65 games next year. Same with Draymond. I want his minutes per game at like 30. And I don't even care if the Warriors go 42-40. Now, I know Joe Lacob cares, and I know all those people paying all that money down at the Chase Center for those tickets are going to care. But they have to have built up some equity with you, right? I mean, as Warriors fans, 888-957-9570. If Kevin Durant leaves, are you really expecting this team to make the playoffs this year and have a real shot at winning an NBA title? Legitimately. Take the goggles off, put the Kool-Aid down, and get real. Look at this roster right now. Klay will be coming back off an ACL. Maybe you get him in February, March. I mean, the most plausible course of action might be to keep Klay chilling on the sidelines this season anyway. But I'm talking about your Jordan Pools, your Eric Pascals, maybe your Jordan Bells if they ultimately decide to retain him. Your Kevon Looney's. And Looney's interesting in all this. There's a report. Let me find this real quick in my notes. The Rockets. Yes, the Houston Rockets. Have a free agent recruitment session arranged for today. With Kevon Looney. Now, keep in mind, he's a restricted free agent. They have his bird rights too. So, the Warriors can pay him whatever. And they can match any offer that a team will throw at him. But Houston Daryl Morey, being the devious little guy that he is, they might throw a ridiculous offer at Kevon Looney and put the Warriors in a tough spot where either they have to, you know, commit a bunch more scratch to him, probably more than you would like to pay him, or risk losing him. And I don't think you can afford to lose Kevon Looney right now. I don't. Let's go to Terry in Napa real quick. Go ahead, Terry.
Hey, what's up? What's up?
Gentlemen.
This pessimism's got to stop, man. It's like, how do you think the Patriots feel after they come off either losing to the Giants in the Super Bowl and everyone's saying, oh, the team's falling apart, there's nothing there? It's the quality of the organization that we should be proud of. And I expect nothing less from the Warriors every year than the best product that the NBA has to offer, especially going into the Chase Center. Picking it apart is just a futile gesture, man.
Well, hold on, Terry. I hear what you're saying, and they've built up a ton of clout. They've got equity in, you know, all that stuff. They've done things the right way. But let's face it, Terry, in the NBA, it's about having personnel, right? I mean, star power, and I get it. Like Curry and Draymond, I'm not going to say that those guys can't go out and win a bunch of basketball games. I'm saying, is it in their best interest, knowing that they probably – what's their high watermark, do you think, next year, Terry, as constituted right now? Do you really think that
– This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.